9 until earlier this year, and I took over in November of 2019.
Does your clinic deal with pro-life protesters? If you do, how do you support people coming to access abortions who have to deal with that?
So initially when Cabbage Town was opened, it was a very, very intense time in abortion activism in Canada. A couple of things were not there, which are there now, which assure that women can access abortion clinic services a lot easier in 2019 than they did in 1989. So back when the clinic was started, there were protesters right outside. These protesters could be violent. Sometimes they coerced and physically shoved women away from the clinic.
Wow.
But there's this law that was passed first in BC and now in Ontario, which allows a safety bubble for abortion clinics, which means basically if you are walking into an abortion clinic, there shouldn't be any kind of pro-life person that you are dealing with. That's against the law. And even though some pro-abortionists are set up sort of in the buildings around Cabbage Town because of this history, they're not allowed to come outside and coerce women in any way. So there's definitely assurance of as safe as possible access to abortion care and free of harassment. However, pro-life activists can display their paraphernalia and things like this in other places outside of these security bubbles.
Can I just throw a question in there?
Yeah.
Have you guys ever had, like, a situation that happened outside of the clinic where, like you said, there's that safety bubble where they can't come close, I guess. But let's say if somebody had been, like, stalking, I'll say stalking because, you know, somebody following you without you knowing is stalking.
Yeah, sure.
So if somebody had to watch you, like, leave the building, has that ever happened where someone's been, like, attacked or?
Not since my time there, but I have asked about all that history because this is so rooted in, you know, our history as a society. So I've been very interested in speaking to the staff, some of which have been there since 89. So these women sometimes... one of the ladies that was there, really from the beginning, she had to fight people to get into the clinic.
Wow.
She had a follower, and she had somebody who knew where her children went to school and threatened them. So definitely some of the people that were pro-choice in the past had to deal with a lot more than I do. Security is something that's still very high on our mind. So although I think it's quite rare for anything like that to happen in Canada, exposure to media, exposure of ourselves in terms of identity, people knowing who is affiliated exactly with the clinic is something that we still guard quite carefully. But there haven't been issues of that nature for healthcare staff in many years in Canada, as far as I know.
Is there an age limit to access abortion, and does a teenager need their parents' permission to get an abortion?
That's a very good question. So if you're over 16 or over, then you can provide consent to something like an abortion. Between 14 and 16 years old, it's much more straightforward if you do have an adult that can come with you. This doesn't necessarily need to be your parents, but it has to be an adult who can act as somebody that is consenting for you. And that's much more standard because then nobody has to question that consent. If there's nobody and a girl of 14, let's say, wants to access abortion at our services, then the physician interviews that person and decides whether maturity level, this is somebody who can who does understand what she's deciding and is convinced of her decision. And that's basically all that a doctor wants, really, is to make sure that somebody who is consenting can consent, which means that you can understand what is going on, you can understand what the consequences of your decisions are, and that you are making the decision to proceed with an abortion.
Sorry. So
and below 14, you need access? To consent. Sorry. And below 14, you definitely need an adult.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So can everyone who accesses an abortion rely on clinics to keep their information completely confidential?
Yes. So all abortion clinics guard confidentiality really to the utmost that they possibly can. I think it's important for for patients to realize that when they're booking something online, let's say, and our website states this as well, we can never know what possibilities for hackers there are today or at any point in the future. So the most confidential way to book is if you do a phone call. Nobody can record that phone call. There's no technology like that that we know of. So that's the most confidential way to book. And any records, anything that is kept, is used with the strictest of medical confidentiality.
Okay. So to add on to that, like, if you were to go get an abortion, mm-hmm. would that information go to, like, your family doctor, let's say?
Absolutely not. Okay. Absolutely not. So unless you're asking for it and signing that you want that, nobody will do that.
Okay. So this is a two-part question. Is it correct that most abortions are performed in the first trimester of someone's pregnancy? And also, do people seeking abortions need to have an ultrasound or do anything other than booking the appointment before they can access an abortion?
Correct. Most abortions done in Canada or anywhere that I know of are done in the first trimester, the early abortions. Nothing is necessary for you to book an appointment. You can just book an appointment and the clinic itself can take care of the rest. Mm-hmm. Of course, especially as pregnancy goes on into the second trimester, the more that is there, the more it helps a clinic like Cabbage Town give you services same day, if that's a possibility. And usually at Cabbage Town it is. An ultrasound would be the number one on that list, which is a nice bonus to have. Mm-hmm. And blood work, which your doctor or walk-in doctor should know, would include your blood type. And in some cases, the amount of pregnancy hormone that's in your blood. But none of these things are necessary. You can walk in without any of those things, and we have what's needed to complete those tests.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
could you talk us through a step-by-step the process of a surgical abortion and or a medical abortion?
Okay. So in the first trimester, up until 10 weeks in some clinics, 9 weeks in our clinic, you can get either a medical or a surgical abortion. So I think that's probably the most common scenario. That's what I'll go through. When you walk in, the first thing is to put you into the waiting room and get you to fill out a form, which basically goes over your past medical history, any allergies, any medications that you're on, just to pick up on what's the safest option for you medically. Then the next step is to see the physician, and the physician does a personalized consultation. So they go over your form, they do a physical exam, and they do an ultrasound. And in that process, they try to figure out at what stage the pregnancy is at and if there's any risks to either the abortion pill, the medical abortion, or the surgery for you. And then all those risks are discussed, either by the physician themselves or by a nurse or a counselor, so that you understand either path and what those risks are. It's also important for you to understand all the options in terms of some women are very, very sure when they come in that an abortion is for them, and then we don't need to go over many of the other options because they're aware and they've already declined the other options. Other women are quite undecided, so then it's important that we're not the ones guiding them on any one of those paths. So a surgical abortion would then take place in the operating room. It's a very, very safe procedure. It's a 5 to 10 minute procedure. The most of it is the prep, the blood work that we do to make sure that your blood type is doesn't need treatment prior to or post after the procedure, just measuring your blood pressure and temperature and things like that, and starting an IV in some scenarios. And then you come into the operating room and you're lied down. You have a nurse that's with you the whole time, so she's talking to you. She's trying to see and gauge how comfortable you are throughout the procedure. She's explaining to you what's going on. Or for some women, they're like, shut up, I just want to concentrate and go away from this place in my mind. And that's fine too. So we try to do whatever we think is going to make the woman the most at ease. That's a really important priority for us. And we do that with this nurse that's talking, and also with medications. So there are medications that you get for pain, and there's some medications that you get to help you feel a little bit dozy, a little bit drowsy. In our clinic and most abortion clinics, you don't get put to sleep, so it's not general anesthesia, but you are dozy. It's called conscious sedation, and that means basically you are more relaxed, more sleepy, and you don't remember very well later on what happened. So once those medications are on board, then we start the procedure, which involves, it starts out just like a PAP, a long PAP. So for most women, they know what that is. If nowadays, especially below the age of 25, you might not have had a PAP ever, so we explain what that is. And basically, it's just an instrument that goes inside and opens up the vagina for us. And then we freeze the area, open up the area a little bit, depending on how far along the pregnancy is. And then we use a little vacuum to suck out the pregnancy. Then we check, make sure that the pregnancy is all there. And if it's all there, we stop right there and you go on your way. And that's to the post-surgical suite where we wait, make sure that things are safe, make sure there isn't too much bleeding, make sure the blood pressure is still good, and that all those medications that we gave you run out as much as possible before we let you go home. And we do suggest that somebody is with you to drive you home and be with you, just because medication should be out of your system, but you might still be a little bit dozy. Mm-hmm. The pill abortion is very different, and it really, really varies on the setting. In our clinic, it's something that the nurse talks to you about step by step, what's normal, what's not normal, answers all the questions, and then gives you the first of the two sets of pills. The first pill you swallow in the clinic, and usually doesn't make you feel any different. You kind of don't notice that you took it, for most women. Some women start to bleed after the first pill. Then in 2 days, so after 24 to 48 hours, you take the second set of pills, and those are four pills that you put inside your cheek and let them melt. And those are the pills that start the cramping and the bleeding at home. And by this point, you're in a place where, for most women, that's the advantage of the pill, is that they're either with loved ones or they're alone in a place where they know what to expect, but they have privacy to do that in. And then they know all the list of things to call us if they worry about. And then we do encourage all women to come back, but that's not necessary for having the abortion done. We encourage women to come back, certainly if there's any concerns or things that are out of normal, and at around 2 weeks, just to make sure that everything is out. Yeah, that's it.
So are these procedures covered by OHIP?
Yeah, so that's an important question as well. So yes, they're covered by OHIP. It depends on the clinic that you go to. So our clinic, Cabbage Town, is an independent health facility. It's a little bit of a special thing where the service that it provides, the government wants to make sure there's enough capacity. And so it pays a clinic like that separately to do just this service. And because we're an IHF, we don't charge patients with OHIP for anything. So not for the ultrasound, not for the visit, nothing like that. There are other clinics that, yes, they charge OHIP for part of what they do, but they don't get paid like we do to do the service full time. And so they sometimes have to charge patients for things like ultrasounds. We don't do that.
Okay.
So I think it's an advantage.
Does abortion impact a person's ability to conceive later on in life or have any impact on future pregnancies?
Another very good question. It's really, really important to keep in mind that abortions are incredibly safe. They are 14 times safer than being pregnant and having a delivery. Okay, so most women, when they're talking to their delivery doctor, they don't ask their delivery doctor, do you think that my delivering is going to affect my future ability to deliver, right? So yes, it can in very, very rare, very, very bad scenarios. And that's the case for abortions as well. But it's 14 times less likely with an abortion than it is with a delivery. So that's the important thing to keep in mind when I talk about that's in some cases, and especially as pregnancy goes on into the second trimester, there is, for example, the risks of having injuries done to the uterus, which is the womb where the pregnancy sits in. That happens less than 1% of the time. It's probably 1 in 500 women that unfortunately go through that step. Most of the women that have injury to the uterus heal quite well on their own without needing any further intervention. But we watch them a lot more carefully, okay? When it does need intervention, that can be in the form of surgery. And again, most of the time when we need to send somebody to the emergency room and then they see a gynecologist and get a surgery to repair the injury done to the uterus, they're fine and they can have a normal pregnancies after that. It is the really, really rare scenario where bleeding is so severe that it's endangering the life of the patient, and that's really the only time when things like threat to the uterus might happen. Okay?
Thanks so much for coming in for our interview. We really appreciate your time and the critically important work that you do.
Thanks so much for having me. It's really important, I think, to get the message out to women that the service is available and there is access to it.
It's definitely not a problem. So we're going to take a short music break and we'll be over for interview.